You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth, it became clear right away that he was not a law man, he was a gospel man. At the same time, he gave new force to the law. Law makes demands upon people. The gospel gives life to people. The law is bad news, the gospel is good news. The law makes harsh demands, the gospel issues persuasive appeals. In its ultimate form, dealing with moral requirements that cannot be changed, the law comes from God. You can read the law of God in the Ten Commandments. The law has to do with the ultimate principles of life, disregard for which merely results in another law, the law of the jungle. In a world which recognizes only law and nothing else, obeying law reluctantly and disregarding law readily when it thinks it can get away with it, the Lord God himself speaks with a voice of thunder in a tone of judgment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. The judgment of God rests upon everyone who disregards that all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. You can't just make a stab at it and then forget about it. When the Lord says all, he means all. Nobody understands better than a lawyer what those words really mean. There's no mistaking their meaning, certainly not for a lawyer. He reads the words and he knows what they mean. He can explain to you what they mean. They mean what they say. That's the way the law works. One day, a city lawyer settled on the hardest question he could find and threw it at a country preacher. What do I have to do to get to heaven? He asked. The preacher did not hem and haw. Quick as a flash, he turned the question back to the lawyer and asked him, what would you say? A little flustered, maybe, but not silenced, the expert in the law repeated the age-old summary of the law of God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus replied calmly, do that and you will live. You don't have to tell a lawyer that just making a stab at it simply will not do. People who don't know the law or don't want to know it often salve their consciences, trying to dispel the feelings of guilt they have with the common bromide, I do the best I can. A lawyer knows that won't do. It will not stand up in a court of law. It won't stand up in real life either. Jesus said simply, do it and you will live. To keep from looking silly, the specialist racked his brains for another question and frantically seized upon one that had to do with that neighbor rather than with God. Trying to justify himself, actually changing the subject, the expert in the law asked another tough one, and who is my neighbor? Now we get to the heart of the matter. All the weeds and the shrubbery are stripped away, behind which people hide from their neighbors. Now we zero in not only on the thrust of the law, but on the purpose of the law. Jesus introduces people to the heart of God. That's the way he is. He reaches out to help people, even when they do not appreciate his help. He loves people, even when they do not respond to his love. He atones for the sin of people who are simply not capable of atoning for their own sins. He reaches out to people, although they have no intention of reaching out to him. He sends his Son to die for the sins of the world, despite the fact that the world is at enmity with him. As one of Christ's men said so clearly, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Still, there's a legal question about which people can argue. And who is my neighbor anyway? Jesus turned the whole question around and made it a gospel question. He turns the minds of people to the heart of God. He probes the heart of life itself. What is life without heart? As he often did, Jesus got to the heart of the matter with a little story. A man, it seems, was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Everybody knew that road. You can go down that road today, running down through sparsely inhabited hills to the Jordan Valley, dropping 2,500 feet in just a few miles. A man was going down through those hills, and he had the misfortune of being attacked by some bandits. They stripped him, beat him with sticks and clubs, cleaned him out, and left him lying on the ground, as St. Luke reports, half dead. That was a medical term in use in those days to describe someone who was in critical shape. As Jesus tells the story, a priest came down that road. He probably knew the place that was known for its pillage and had been nicknamed the Bloody Pass. He saw the poor fellow lying there in the ditch, but he did not stop. The next person to come that way was a Levite, belonging to the honored tribe whose privilege it was to serve the Lord. He looked, too, at the beaten-up traveler, but when no one else was looking, he left. Both of these men were men of God, busy minding their own business, with no time or training or interest in dealing with the lives of people they had never met. Besides, the man was a bloody mess. No telling what disease he had, and what is more, he was pretty far gone anyway. What could any one man do out there on that dangerous curve with darkness coming on? A little while later, a third man arrived. He was a Samaritan. There was little love lost between the people of God and these Samaritans. They were looked upon then, as they are sometimes looked upon today by their more privileged neighbors, as inferior half-breeds. The worst thing someone could call someone else was a Samaritan. It was common to say the only good Samaritan is a dead Samaritan. Here the story took on a little edge for the people who were listening to Jesus, including the lawyer. The story became something more than a tale spun to a yawning congregation. Their teeth were set on edge as the Samaritan stepped up to view the remains. It took daring even to mention him, not to speak about making him the hero of the three who stopped and saw the beaten-up traveler. The Samaritan stooped down to look at the man. He began to consider what he could do to save the man from dying, a man who probably would not have given that Samaritan the time of day if both had met under ordinary circumstances. The Samaritan did not ask, "Will I be rewarded, recognized, repaid, and appreciated if I do something for this man? Will I get praise or publicity or profit from it? Would this poor wretch do the same for me if the situation were reversed?" Moved with pity, the Samaritan spontaneously did something to relieve the wounded man. He applied oil and wine to his wounds to soften the pain and also to serve as a disinfectant. He bandaged the wounds. He put the injured man on his own beast, possibly a donkey, and took him to an inn nearby. He took 2 silver coins from his pocket and gave them to the operator of the inn. The Samaritan told the innkeeper, "Take care of the man as long as necessary. If the cost of his care is more than what I've given you, I'll repay you when I pass by this way on my return." Now Jesus said to the lawyer, "In your judgment, which one of these three behaved as a neighbor to the injured man?" The lawyer was an honorable man. He answered honestly, "He who did the act of mercy." Jesus went on, "Go and do the same." The original question provided wonderful grounds for argument, and who is my neighbor, anyway? The new question, the one the lawyer had to answer, turned the whole thing around. Who was neighbor to the man who fell among the thieves? You can argue until you're blue in the face about the law, even the law of God, but you can't argue about the gospel. The good news from God produces a new heart and gives help, as God helps us all in our inability to do what the law demands. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. The Samaritan, the rejected one, did not ask, "And who is my neighbor anyway?" It's the wrong question to ask, said Jesus. It mistakenly assumes a boundary somewhere. This is the heart of the matter. The word neighbor in God's language is not just a matter of proximity or geography. It has to do with need, wherever you find it. It deals with people who need help, whoever and wherever they may be. By this time, you're probably getting the idea. Jesus was really talking about himself. In a gentle but forceful way, he was reminding the lawyer that the servant of the Lord, despised and rejected by even the most religious people, comes from the heart of God to help people in their need. He comes to do for people what they would not and could not do for themselves. Jesus himself is the Good Samaritan. He not only taught love for one's neighbor, he lived it himself. In self-giving love, he gave himself for the people whom he always treated as his neighbors. Jesus loved his neighbors. He felt sorry for the sick, and he healed them. He pitied the sinners, and he died for them. He suffered for the suffering, and he died for the dying, because he did this in all obedience to his Father and with love for his Father that knew no bounds. His Father raised him from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. Jesus went right to the heart of the matter, which is the heart of God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should turn from their way and live. Jesus did not refuse the ultimate sacrifice of his all too human life, his own innocent life, to pay the wages of sin, which is death. The whole thing is so remarkable as to be almost unbelievable. The episode of death and resurrection of Jesus to bring about a new epoch in human history. There he is, standing tall at the apex of human history, offering his life for the life of the world, promising forgiveness through his atonement for the sins of the world, and offering life to all who trust in him. He is the Good Samaritan, despised and rejected of men, bearing our griefs and carrying our sorrows. Jesus is himself the gospel of God in a world so beset by bad news that it cannot even consider the possibility of good news from God himself. The good news of Jesus, the gospel of God, gets right to the heart of the matter. The gospel is personal. And it is for you. Jesus reaches out to touch you today with his forgiving and healing power coming from God himself. He goes to the heart of the matter. Your sin, your guilt, your dissatisfaction with yourself, your despondency and your despair. Both in his death and in his resurrection, Jesus is your neighbor. He was neighbor to the one fallen among the thieves. He heals and he helps. He lifts up the fallen. He empowers the powerless, and he gives hope to those who have no hope. A friend of mine asked two men one day in a doctor's office, "Do you have any thoughts on loving your neighbor?" One of them, the manager of a supermarket, replied, "Stay away from them." The reply of the other one was, "Build a fence." The same friend told me about a woman who brought a meal to Mary, who was the bag lady of the town. Her reaction was, "How come you didn't bring a bottle of wine? What good is a meal without wine?" This man's son and his fiancée, who is now his wife, were driving down the turnpike. Suddenly they heard a loud noise. At first they thought it might be a helicopter. Then a new Cadillac, driven by a woman, roared by in the left lane. She was traveling about 75 miles an hour. The loud noise convinced this man's son that something was wrong with her car. He chased the Cadillac in his beat-up old Oldsmobile. With great difficulty, he succeeded in getting that woman to pull over and come to a stop. Then he discovered the cause of the loud noise. There was a big bubble on the side of one of the tires. The loud noise occurred every time the bubble went around and hit the road. This young man, who's a policeman, pointed out that the tire might blow up at any time and cause serious injury to the woman and possibly to others. She had no understanding of the risk she was taking, and said excitedly that she was in a great hurry. Reluctantly, she let the young man take off her damaged tire. To get at the spare tire, he had to remove several boxes of chinaware from the trunk and place them on the ground. The faulty tire was so hot that he had to use a towel to protect his hands. After changing the tire, he carefully returned her chinaware to the trunk. When he had finished, the woman said, "I've got to get going now. Goodbye." She offered no word of thanks or appreciation. He risked his life to keep this woman from losing hers. He did it without thought of reward, and he got not even a word of thanks. God loves you with all his being. He loves everyone else in the same way. God thought you were worth the death of his son on a cross. Others are worth just as much to him. Maybe you begin to understand what it all means in view of the redemption of the world by God's son, Jesus Christ. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And you will also love your neighbor as yourself. The Son of God was not all wrapped up in himself. He died for you. He doesn't want you to be all wrapped up in yourself. Rather, take a leaf from the book of the Good Samaritan. Go and do the same thing as the Good Samaritan, the Great One, the Samaritan of all Samaritans, did for you. Now we get to the heart of the matter. Why? Because it will benefit you? Because it will make you a friend instead of an enemy? Because someone might take note or pay attention to you? No. Just because it is God's will for you. It's God's way for you. It's the right way to go, without thought for yourself and with a lot of thought for your neighbor. It's the way Jesus went for you, forgetting the shame, for the joy that was set before him. He endured a cross, and now he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. To that lawyer, now quite different from what he had been, Jesus addressed the question he addresses to you. Which of these three do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Touched by shame for all of his prejudice, the lawyer caught the heart of the matter and he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Jesus, smiling because the lawyer had caught the heart of the matter, gave a great suggestion to each and every one that goes with the heart of the matter. Go and do likewise. Go ahead and do the same thing. Done out of love for God, that goes to the gospel heart of the matter. Amen.